Yo, it's Eboshi.
Hey, this is Eboshi from Cartel Madras, and you're listening to CJSF.
I was on the back of your mind. I was on the back of your lap. You were in the back of the car. You were in the back of my heart. I was in the back of the bar. You know what I do? Take things too far. Don't know where to start or begin. Don't know how it ends. Don't know how to say what I meant. Don't know how to say how I feel. Baby, is it real? I was like 34 double D's. You know what I like? Ice cold.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Bernie B.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions Membership Support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Both ancient and modern wisdom counsel that the path to a good life is to be full of care, to work with what is given, and to look for friends along the way. Friendship is a tether that holds us as we navigate life's many thresholds. Nothing draws us through them as powerfully as the loving care of others. Friendship is an island of safety and intimacy as we share our joys, sorrows, challenges, and authenticity. They give us courage to be our full self, flaws and all, and love us even when we don't love ourselves. It is said, to find a friend, we need to be a friend. And this will be the topic today that we'll be exploring with our guest, Mark Nepo. Mark Nepo is a poet, philosopher, and spiritual friend. In 2015, he was given a Life Achievement Award by Age Nation, and in 2016 was named by Watkins Mind, Body, Spirit as one of the most spiritually influential living people. He was part of Oprah Winfrey's The Life You Want tour in 2014 and has appeared several times on Oprah on her Super Soul Sunday program on OWN TV. As a cancer survivor, Mark devotes his writing and teaching to the journey of inner transformation and the life of relationship. Mark is the author of many audio learning projects and over 20 books, including You Don't Have to Do It Alone, The Power of Friendship. So please join us for the next hour as we explore one of the most important aspects of being human, the power of friendship, with our guest, Mark Nepo. I'm speaking with Mark in his home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Mark, welcome once more to New Dimensions.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you again. I always enjoy how deeply we dive together.
Oh, me too. Me too. And I know our listeners concur, so we'll just all dive together today. And I want to start with the idea in the German language, the word for friendship can be translated as place of high safety.
Yes.
I love that idea. So I'd love for you to speak about friendship as being that kind of place.
Friendship, and as you know, one of the things that I start the book with is Ralph Waldo Emerson's wonderful statement that a friend may be reckoned the masterpiece of nature. And Aristotle said a friend is a second self. And so this place of high safety where by seeing each other and accepting each other and being with each other authentically and tenderly, we give each other space to be all of who we are. And from that place of safety, it's akin to how a flower breaks ground and opens. When we have that place of safety, we don't have to worry about anything except being who we are and being there for each other. And one of the amazing paradoxes around this is, unless I am authentic and therefore have a clean, my soul and heart are open and a clear inlet, well, then I can't see you and receive you. So by loving myself, I can fully love you. And we are kind of scoured clean again, both by caring for ourselves and caring for each other. So I might not be able to, as you mentioned in that opening quote, I might not be in a place where I can care for myself, but my love for you, I can maybe give more readily, and then that will help me better tend myself.
That just reminds me, it's like we don't have to be perfect in loving ourselves in order to be a friend to others. And I'm just reminded of that African saying, a friend who knows your song and can sing it to you when you feel discouraged and afraid. So it's like knowing each other's song and being able to sing that back to each other and not to be afraid for each other when we go through, let's say, that dark night.
Absolutely. And I think one of the words that I love so much that's very relevant here is the word honor. The word honor has just a fantastic original meaning. It means to keep what is true in view. To keep what is true in view. And that is the practice of friendship. You know, when you can't see yourself, I honor you by keeping what I know about you that is true in view. I honor life by keeping what I know about. I can befriend life, which is different than understanding life. You know, we think of friendship primarily, of course, between ourselves and others. But friendship extends to the earth, the world, nature, spirit, you know, the things around us, the forces greater than us, so that we can, you know, not conceptualizing nature, but befriending it. Not conceptualizing the universe, but befriending it.
We're not talking about friendship in like we're out to fix each other. It's not about that, is it?
No, not at all. You know, I think that's one of the ground rules in all the circles that I'm blessed to convene is that we start out by saying, you know, and most people are there, is saying we're not here to give advice or fix each other. We're here to listen and bear witness. And so, you know, I'm a lifelong teacher, as you know, and I've concluded after all these years that you can't change anyone. So what am I doing, right? Well, my understanding of friendship and teaching as a friend, being a teacher as a friend, has shifted. I think of being a teacher as being a greenhouse, providing light and warmth so that whatever is before me will grow the way it needs and wants to grow, not the way I presume it should grow, even with good intention. That is presumptuous on my part. But I can provide light and warmth, and then you will grow the way you are meant to grow.
That reminds me, I have to ask you about us. Your book is just filled with stories and metaphors and analogies and just pictures that just are just wonderful. And one of the stories, when you say light and warmth, it reminds me of a story that you write about and told about Yankel, the young boy who was being shipped to Auschwitz.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So can you tell that story?
Yeah. So this is an amazing story, one of the many Holocaust stories of this young man, Yankel, who was, you know, 14, 15, and was unceremoniously, you know, thrown into a boxcar with other people from his village, I think it was in Poland, and was just horribly shipped for days in a bitter cold, no food, no bathroom facilities, nothing. And there was an old man an elder from his village that was in the car with him. And they were just, you know, like there was no room. They were just, you know, packed into each other. And as it was freezing overnight after night, he wound up huddling with the old man, and, you know, keeping their body warmth with each other. And he fell asleep. And in the morning when he woke up, everyone except him in the boxcar, including the old man he was holding, had died, and he had frozen to death. And he wound up surviving the camps, and he spent his last days, he emigrated to the United States to Brooklyn and became a baker to make warm bread. And his real life lesson was that, you know, warmth will keep each other alive. Warmth will keep each other alive. And that's the heart of friendship.
And I think that you mention in your writing that this sacredness in Judaism is that if you warm others' hearts, you remain warm yourself.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for remembering that. Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing that, you know, part of the gift of friendship is that we get as much, if not more, for giving. That the act of giving is rewarding for us. And, you know, I have a small poem of mine that speaks to that. Just one stanza, you know, that says, "The mystery is that whoever shows up when we dare to give has exactly what we need hidden in their trouble."
And in that, it's not that we are giving in order to get, you know, it's not like that so much as I'm thinking it's more or less like friendship is about joint experiences. It's not even about opinions and ideas and all of that. It's about what we experience together. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I mean, I think this is where it dovetails with the, you know, what compassion, the word compassion literally means being with. When we're friends in that place of high safety, we agree to, and this is another word I use in the book, the word betroth, which we know is means to marry, but troth means to be loyal to the journey with another. And so when we are friends, we're signing up for the difficult, the joyous, the confusing. We're not just watching, we're there with each other.
Exactly.
And that's what compassion is. We're I agree to when being your friend to feel your pain and to feel your joy and to be with you on the journey, to be loyal to the journey.
Exactly. And to feel your ecstasy. I opened the conversation asking about a translation of the word friendship in German. There's another language that many of us are very, very familiar with and with certain words, and that's the Hawaiian language. Three words that come to me are aloha, mahalo, and ohana. The meaning behind them is what's really very striking. Do you?
Aloha, of course, means I share the breath of life with you.
Okay, mahalo is a thank you for this exchange
Yes. Of
breath. Thank you, mahalo. So when you leave, you could say mahalo. And then ohana is about those who breathe together are family.
Yes, yeah, and that's Yes. Just so beautiful.
I'm here with Mark Nepo. He's the author of You Don't Have to Do It Alone, The Power of Friendship. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, marknepo.com. And he spells his last name N-E-P-O, marknepo.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Thank you.
I'm here with Mark Nepo, and we're talking about friendship. And friendship has a lot to do, and what we've really alluded to is deep listening. And that listening sometimes is listening into silence. And I would love for you to share another story that I just loved. And I think that this was a story where you went to a concert of Lonnie Smith.
Yes.
You recall that?
And yes.
Describe what that concert and then what you shared afterwards.
Yeah, so I had gone with this old friend of mine, and it was in a small venue. It was actually at a nature center. And so there were maybe, 40 or 50 people. And he is this master organ player, and he arrived and he played a Hammond organ, which is an enormous, it probably weighed 500 pounds. It looked like a whale that was waiting to be awakened by his touch. And he came up and he had a turban and he was very elegant and had a shawl and he began playing. And then, as he was playing and everything came alive, and it was just with two other musicians, so it was like a trio. And then at one point, he was kind of playing with the drummer, and they had been very, vibrant and loud. And then he was bringing the tone down, and he brought it down, and the drummer went down. And then he brought it down even quieter, and the drummer went down. And then finally, he took his hands off the keys and played the notes in silence. And then the drummer did, and, everybody kind of chuckled, like, oh, that's really cool. But he stayed there, and for a couple of minutes, they played the silence together. And it was astonishing because so much opened up, and then he brought us back out quietly and then a little louder. And he said that, when he went to play, he felt like he was awakened to continue all that was left unfinished. Like he was awoken back up when he played to continue something that he had started long ago. And it was just beautiful. And I also had, this was a juxtaposition for friendship, because this story, also in it, my friend Bob had taken me to this concert. It was such a gift. But at the same time, I had a friend, a lifelong friend, who we didn't survive lots of difficulties, and turned out to be, after many years, an abusive friendship, and I had to leave it. But he was a musician. And so, of course, this opens up. I have a chapter in the book about the garden of the heart that, I think we all have a garden in our heart where everyone we've ever loved still lives. And so I still love him, but I don't confuse that. I can't be in relationship with him. So even at this concert, I knew that he would have loved this. Mm-hmm. I knew that, as a musician, and I know when his birthday is, and I don't forget these things, but that doesn't mean that I need to call him up, because nothing has changed. So this raises a whole, another thing about, in the Buddhist tradition, of course, one of the great gifts is the practice of seeing things as they are, which is at once simple and probably the most difficult thing on earth. And so this is very, even more difficult with friends in terms of seeing what's there and loving them, as we've said, flaws and all, but also not insisting that they are what we want them to be and we don't see who they are.
What I hear you saying, Mark, is that even in the friendship that is no longer active, so to speak, it's like his essence continues to live in you, like something essential in him beyond all of his wounds and anger or rage or whatever he might hold outwardly.
Absolutely. And I think, Rudolf, I think I quote in the book too, that Rudolf Steiner wonderfully had said, at some point, when you love someone, you will see their better angel. You will see their ideal higher self. And it may only be briefly, then you will encounter their humanness. And it's so important to remember what you've seen as you both stumble through being human. And so what this means is that even in relationship, you know, say we're friends and I want you to be a dove. I want to be able to, you know, give you seed and have you nibble it out of my hand. Well, and it turns out, though, that you're really a bear. Well, you don't love a bear the same way you love a dove.
Right.
And if I insist that you're a dove, I will continue to get hurt. And so you can't stay, you can't love a bear as closely as you can love a dove, but you can still love a bear, but it requires, this is where seeing things as they are, you, there's always a balance between loving yourself and loving others so that the least harm occurs.
Well, that reminds me, Mark, of a story that you tell in really the caveats of friendship, let's say. And the story you tell, it's a fable from India called The Willing Crab. And so you caution us about being a friend and giving ourselves away. So help us to understand using this fable.
And I love these stories that are anonymous from different cultures because they carry such lessons, you know, before degrees and programs and certificates. Stories were the universities. Stories passed one by one. So this story is how certain creatures became sea creatures. And so there's a crab, a minnow, a shrimp. I can't remember the fourth one.
I think
one.
A frog, maybe, probably.
Oh, frog. Thank you. And so they live together. And the crab stays home because it has a gift for cooking, and the others go out and find food each day. So one day, the crab makes a stew. And as he's making the stew, he tastes it, and then he decides, you know, I'm going to put one of my claws in. It'll make it so sweet. Now, nobody asked the crab to do this, but he does it. And the others come home, and they notice he's minus a claw, and they drink the soup. They go, oh, this is fantastic. This is just, oh, mwah. But they don't say, did you put your claw in there? Don't do that. They didn't say that. They said, oh, bravo, bravo. So the next day, they're out searching for food, and the crab puts his other claw in. And they go, this is the best soup I've ever had. And the third day, they come back, and the crab's nowhere to be seen. And the pot of soup is simmering on the stove. And they realize the crab threw the rest of himself in. And the frog and the minnow and the shrimp, they start laughing. They're not upset. They start laughing so hard that they crook themselves. The shrimp throws his back out. The minnow hurts itself, the frog, and so they can no longer walk on land, and they have to retreat to the sea. And this is an ancient anonymous story of how these creatures became sea creatures. And what this holds for us is, obviously, how not to give ourselves away. So first off, no one asked the crab to throw a part of himself in. And, you know, if someone truly loves you, they would never ask you to throw a part of yourself into the stew. And we sometimes want so badly to belong and be accepted that we will hurt ourselves.
Right.
So there's a great lesson there. And the other, of course, is that these other creatures were not true friends. They didn't say, no, don't do that. No, they were so cruel. And so laughed so hard. So the cost of being cruel and indifferent is that you can no longer walk on land.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's a big lesson.
Yeah. So, you know, I often when I ask folks to journal about this in a personal way and saying, was there a time, can you write about a time that you threw a part of yourself in the soup?
I think that many of us have our own story of that, where we really gave away our authenticity, our true self, and just contorted ourselves in order to belong, so to speak. And in the long run, then we can no longer walk on firm ground.
Yeah.
There's another analogy that you use that I really loved. And it's the analogy of friendship and the buoy, and how I think you think about friendship that can connect us, like it's a tether that connects us to the deep. Am I getting that analogy correct?
Yeah, and that we this is both personally and of course in friendship, we help each other, that we serve as depth markers for each other. And so if I'm swimming and feel a little lost, you can be my buoy. You can mark the depth, and I can hold on to you until I can find my footing and regain my equilibrium. And we do, of course, take turns doing this, because one day you'll be clear as can be, and the next day we'll switch. We'll take turns.
And that just reminds me, you also say that a friend wouldn't let me vanish. I love that. And you use the analogy, like the moon never really vanishes. It seems to disappear, but it's always there. And so that goes back to that African saying, like, we hold each other's purpose and essence, so to speak. I can think of, I sat with others at the graveside of a friend who died last year, and we were celebrating her birthday. And so her husband and several others of us joined together at this beautiful graveside of Marisa, and we were able to talk about her essence.
Yeah.
Not so much her accomplishments, which were great, but what we remembered of her essence and her beauty and how she shared and how she walked in this life. And that just reminds me that in something, in an exercise, you ask, and we're all used to being asked in what do you want your eulogy to say? And I want to talk about this in just one moment, but I need to tell our listeners that I'm here with Mark Nepo, and we're talking about friendship. And his newest book is You Don't Have to Do It Alone, The Power of Friendship. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts.